Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
Jesus is telling us to do three things in this text. Cut off and throw. Fling it away. Okay, those are the three things we're supposed to do. Gouge out the eye, amputate the hand, fling them both away. How is that done? Last week we found that it's not talking about our physical eye. It's not talking about our physical hand. Your physical eyes are not what cause you to look with in order to lust or to look in a way that results in coveting. Your physical eye is not the part of you that looks. We use our physical eyes to look, but the act of looking is an act of turning our attention towards something, observing it, thinking about it. That's something that takes place in your inner man. And so the thing that needs to be gouged out, amputated, and flung away is that thing in your soul that wants to look the wrong way at a woman or a man or at anything else. But how do you kill it? The key to killing it is all wrapped up in that one word, better. The reason we're reluctant to fight sin is because we want to keep that thing in us that looks that way. We want to keep our lustful eye because it promises something wonderful. It promises to satisfy our desires. The lustful eye promises to satisfy a craving or an appetite, and there's a fear in us that if I gouge it out and if I fling it away, if I cut that off, if I kill that thing, I'm going to just have to live with unsatisfied desire. But Jesus said there's something better than keeping your lustful eye. There's something better. He offers us something better because He knows that the only way to have real success in resisting an appetite is to have a greater appetite that's an alternative. We will never have victory until we can say with the psalmist in Psalm 84:2, my soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord, the nearness of His presence. Verse 10, better, underline that word, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Psalm 63:3, your love is better than life. Life at its best, earthly life at its best. The experience of God's love is better than life at its best, better, more satisfying than the greatest, most intense pleasure earth can possibly give you. So our fight against sin is all about preferring. It's all about passing up one menu item because there's another item on the menu that you want more. It's better. Say, well, how do I get to that point? How do I make myself start preferring that? I mean, it sounds great on paper. It's great in theory, but what happens when you actually try and put this into practice? You try and tell your soul to prefer God over the pleasure of sin. You say, you're tempted with some sin and it seems so enticing. And you say, soul, nearness to God would be way more satisfying than that. And your soul says, are you kidding me? I mean, honestly, I've experienced the pleasure of that sin. This is your soul talking back to you. And it's pretty intense pleasure. And frankly, the last several times you've read the Bible and prayed, I was bored out of my mind. You cannot tell me that that can compare. You can't tell me that nearness to God will bring anywhere near that kind of pleasure that I get from sin. How is that possible? I mean, you can relate to what I'm saying, right? Why is this true? The Bible says that nearness to God is far more satisfying than the pleasure of sin. So how is it possible for me to have sin, to sin and really like it and have devotions and not like it? How can I have devotions that aren't satisfying? How is that possible if the Bible says that God is utterly satisfying? Is it just some problem my soul's out of whack where I'm just not that into God and He just doesn't satisfy me. He just is not what I'm after. No. The Bible says this is a property of God's nature. He is satisfying to the human soul, period. 100% chance. If you experience the presence of God, your soul will be utterly satisfied and full of joy. 100%. So what's the explanation for boring devotions? There's only one explanation. If the Bible says an experience with God's presence always satisfies the soul, and my devotions were not satisfying to me on a particular day, there's only one possible explanation, and that is the devotions didn't work. I didn't experience the nearness of God's presence in my devotions that day. They just didn't work. Because that's the purpose of devotions, is to experience His presence. And it's not that I experienced His presence and found it unsatisfying. That never happened. It's that my devotions did not bring me that day to an experience of the nearness of God's presence. If they had, then I would have walked away utterly satisfied, full of all that wellness I was talking about. Joy, contentment, strength, and all of that, because it's part of God's nature that His presence does that to the human soul. And the same goes for everything else we do in life, not just devotions. I hope you understand this too. If going to church was boring, the last time I went to church, it was unsatisfying to me. If going to work was unsatisfying, going to school wasn't satisfying, if I spend my time with my family or my wife or my kids or friends and it wasn't satisfying, if doing my ministry or if when I was mowing the lawn the last time it wasn't satisfying to my soul, then those things didn't work. We do all those things for the same reason we have our devotions. Everything we do in life is supposed to be an avenue for fellowship with God to such a degree that we experience His love and experience His presence. If I don't experience His presence and I don't find satisfaction in His presence, then those things were failures. Anything you ever do that doesn't end up satisfying your soul is a fellowship with God fail. It didn't work. And so the more often we experience sensations of satisfaction from fellowship with God, the more success we're going to have in fighting sin. It's essential to have those experiences. And here's why, and I'll try and close with this. When you resolve, it's essential to have experiences of this because there's more to your will than just knowledge and resolve. You say, well, what's the deal with my will? I want righteousness, and I don't want it. If I want it, why don't I just do it? Why, what's the deal with me wanting it and not wanting it? Am I willing to obey or not? Sit here in church, and I think, I'm willing. I get out in the world, I disobey. I guess I wasn't willing. What's the deal with willing? Well, let me talk about the will. The will is complex. There's more to your will than just resolve. When you resolve to wake up early, or stick to a diet, or exercise, or read your Bible more, or whatever you're going to resolve to do, you resolve to do it because you want it. You have the desires there. You really, really, really want to be more disciplined in this area. Well, then why do you fail? Why do you fail? How is it that you can be willing and unwilling at the same time? Do you have the desire or not? And the answer is, the will is complex. It involves not only resolve, but also affections. And by affections, your affections are just simply the way you feel. The way you feel, your emotions, your feelings, your inclinations, your attitudes, that stuff. That's all part of your will. So 5 o'clock in the morning rolls around, my resolve says, get out of bed! My affections say, comfort is supreme. Stay where you are. My resolve says, exercise. Affections, stay on the couch. And so in our battle against sin, we have all this data in our brains that make us resolve to give up sin. The desire is there. We want to be free of this sin so bad. Sometimes we break down in tears over it. And yet, still, so often, we fail. Because even though the knowledge is there, the resolve is there, that part of desire is there, the affections aren't there. The feelings. And so we need to do more than just convince ourselves intellectually of the importance of giving up that sin, ripping out that lustful looking. We need to do something about our affections, the way we feel. And the way you change the way you feel is through experiences. One reason why our affections are so powerfully inclined toward certain sins is because we have had so many experiences of pleasure with that sin that it's drawn our affections over there. And so the more we actually experience delight from the presence of God, the more our affections will start to crave His presence. And we'll want it at the feeling level. When some temptation comes along and threatens to spoil my ability to draw near to God and get all that wellness for a time, it won't be worth it to me. I will say, no, I don't want to do it. I got my feelings say, no, I don't want to do it. And you might be sitting there thinking, great, I knew this solution would be something that's out of my reach. Because I've never even experienced a sense of satisfaction or joy from the presence of God before. That sounds like something like the monks in the monastery get or something. That's not for me. Or maybe you have experienced it, but so seldom that you can't even begin to... I mean, it can't compete with the pleasures of sin that just are so frequent. Occasional great worship experience once or twice in a year or something like that. Where you experience the presence of God in a great way. And to that, I'll just say, I think we experience God's presence and God's love and all the grace that pours into us from that more often than we realize. God's favor is the only source of wellness. It's the only source of wellness. It's the only source of spiritual life. So whenever you have spiritual life, whenever you have that wellness, you're experiencing the presence of God. Whenever you have peace or contentment or courage or the ability to enjoy something good, the ability to enjoy something good, or anytime your eyes are open to truth and you can just see the right way to go and you're not confused, or anytime you have a sense of being safe in Him so that you don't have to be afraid, or any time you have hope, or any time any of the other aspects of wellness and spiritual life that come from God alone, anytime you experience any of that stuff, you are experiencing God's love and favor and nearness. The reason it doesn't... You say, well, I experienced a lot of that, you know, all kinds of it. How come it hasn't trained my soul? The reason it doesn't train our affections to prefer His presence over sin, I think, is mostly... because we so rarely attribute those blessings to His presence. We don't think that that's where it's coming from. We don't make the connection. You see that? We feel really good because we got a good night's sleep last night. We have peace in our hearts. We think it's our doing. Finally overcame that problem of worry. We have the ability to enjoy something good, and we forget that sometimes you don't have that ability. You just think it's automatic, it's inherent in that good thing. No, it's not. Sometimes you can't enjoy good things. Not naturally occurring. We have a feeling of being safe and secure, and we write it off as just having to do with circumstances. We know that something in the Bible, we read something in the Bible, we know what it means. And for once, the way is clear, and we know what way we should go, and we don't think of that as being a effect of God's experiencing God's immediate presence. We just think, I'm getting smarter. You know, or whatever. All those things come and go in your life in relation to how much God is granting you an experience of His nearness and favor. If He withdraws His presence and withdraws His favor, there is absolutely nothing you can do to get those things. You cannot get peace. You cannot get wellness. You cannot get any of that stuff. Any of that wellness of soul. And if He grants an experience of His nearness, then you will get all those things, 100% guarantee, and it doesn't even matter what your circumstances are in your life. So for me, so much of the battle is simply training myself to interpret all those things for what they really are. Delightful experiences of God's favor and presence. And the more I do that, The more I interpret them that way, all through the day, every time I enjoy a bite of food or I have a sense of joy in any way, I make that connection. Oh, this God's right here, right now. I'm experiencing His presence. That's why I feel this way. The more I do that, the more I'm finding that my affections are urgent about doing nothing that would forfeit that. See what I'm saying? Because that kind of life and wellness of soul really is desirable. It really is more pleasurable than the pleasures of sin without that. So we need to work on both our resolve and our affections.
I've got a couple of questions for you today. The first one comes from that statement, there is more to the will than just knowledge and resolve. I just urge you to give that a little bit of thought, that concept. There's more to the will. There's more to what makes you decide things than just what's in your head and what you resolve to do. Think through the role that your affections and emotions play in your will. And then secondly, of all the good pleasures of life, which are the easiest for you to enjoy? Pick two or three things you really love in life. What could you do to train yourself to receive those enjoyments as expressions of God's favor so that the thought of jeopardizing His favor would become more frightening to you?
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.